Good morning. It's wonderful to be together in the spirit of what we are going to be gathering in during our Change the World Evangelism time. And I pray that it is not a time of teaching first or instruction, but a time of life, a time of release, a time of us being together as the body of Jesus, to let his light shine and his life flow and his spirit go further than ourselves. And that's all about being his body. And it's wonderful, I believe, that this class is following Colossians, because so much of Colossians has to do with us being the body of the risen Son. And that it's not a teaching, but it's a head filling every member with his eternal nature and it flowing through us. So let's begin with a prayer, and we're just going to set our hearts in that direction, and we're going to go into the Word and begin by letting the Scriptures guide us and the Holy Spirit use the Word to prepare our hearts for the life release that he has in store for us in this season. Father, I thank you for sending your Spirit, Father, for sending your Son, and for the Godhead reaching out beyond themselves in eternity past, where you could have remained just you three as one, flowing in amazing love, amazing life, amazing oneness, and no one, no other created being, because there were none, there could have been no created beings, to participate, to know, to experience and be filled with you. But God, you're not that way. You're not that way. You decided to go beyond yourself, to share your life. You created worlds. You created mankind. You sent your Son into a deep, deep death so you could share your life with us. Our creation, our new birth, our breath, our life is all because you did not remain inward and separate, but you went out on a mission. Jesus went to the cross and gave us life. And that same Jesus is in us. Your Spirit, your eternal heart of love is beating within us. Your blood is in us. Your life is in us and constrains us to not keep it to ourselves, but to keep pouring it out like from the beginning you did. So let your Spirit, let your heart, let your eternal way of reaching beyond yourself and giving to others order our hearts as we open to you inside of us together during this time of releasing life in Jesus' name. Amen. So within that prayer was, I believe, a very important point. And that is that, if you could say it, the Godhead is evangelical. I think that's probably a very, very poor way of putting it, because God is God. And the word evangelical or evangelism or outreach or et cetera really doesn't have to do with, it's just a term. But what we're speaking of is who God is eternally in his heart, in his being, that he wants to share, he wants to go beyond himself, he wants to give. And that's the family spirit. That's who we are. You know, I know maybe many of you can hearken back to when you were a kid and you had something really special, maybe a special present you got for Christmas, or something you were really excited at, a pet that you loved, or and you just needed to evangelize all your friends with the good news. Oh my gosh, I got that action figure that I've been waiting all year for. And it, guess what? It was better than the advertisement in, you know, the whatever that I looked at when I asked mom and dad to get it. But or this little puppy, she's so much cuter. Oh, I have to just share her with everybody. You see, that's such a small way of saying that when we have something really awesome that moves your heart, it just feels wrong not to let the world know. You share it, pass it on. And that's just a fallen you know, old creation motivation of this urge to share something wonderful. Like if you were given this great big, and this is once again a very not great example, but just a simple earthly example. If you were given this incredible chocolate cake and whoever made it, it's like, how did they get the frosting that perfect? And it's moist, it's not dry. I've never tasted such good chocolate. This is the best chocolate cake I've ever tasted. And I was given a cake that could feed 30 people. But you know what? I'm going to hoard this cake for the next year, put it in the freezer. Or I'm going to go to all the folks around me and let them experience the best chocolate cake I've ever had, you know? And there's something in your heart that just goes, I'm going to choose now. Am I going to keep all the chocolate cake to myself? Or am I going to just throw a party, send out invitations, and say, come and experience the best chocolate cake ever? Well, when we taste of the life of Jesus, and when we first get born again, some of you may have, we can hearken back to this experience, and Jesus comes into our hearts. How many people can just remember when the life of Jesus came in at new birth? I mean, I do. And it was just like, oh my goodness. Many of us maybe were, because we were not yet formed in the image of Christ. And what I'm saying is Christ had not grown in us to the point where we had what could be called maturity, because Jesus in his nature was living through all the different ways we were sharing about him to people. But in the early days, we had none of that increase of Christ to temper us in our approach. But we sure did have a lot of zeal, didn't we? I mean, I was ready to hop on the bus and let the whole world know. Let the whole world know. Stop everything. I found the answer. The answer found me. Let's just quit what we're doing. And I did actually do that. And it's so not about me and my stories, but I do have a few, you know, crazy ones here. I wasn't planning on sharing these. I have so much from the Lord in the Word, but here we go. Let me just, maybe we'll start just kind of personally. But I received Jesus when I was in college here at University of North Texas. And I was in the music program, and I lived in an arts and music dorm that had a lot of crazy creative people in it. And I was distinctly not saved before Jesus came into my heart. And when Jesus came into my heart, the flood of new life, I knew I belonged to Jesus, and I knew I'd never be the same again. And he came into my heart, into me, regenerated my spirit, new life on the inside. It was real. And so I was in my music classes, and I decided, you know, my music professors and the students and my roommate and all the kids in the dorm, definitely, we all just needed to stop what we're doing because we found the answer and just know Jesus. So I went into my jazz theory professor, I won't say his name, and I said, can I have a time just to share with you for a moment? And he said, sure, this is like a big guy at UNT. And I said, I found out why we're here. I found out why we're here. We can stop now. We can stop doing all this stuff, and we can just know. And he looked, I mean, I was serious as I could be. It's like, we figured it out. We're here because God created us to be full of his son. Let's let the whole world know. Let's let them all know. And of course, he just, you know, gently removed me from his presence and had no more discussion. I was confused. I was like, how can you be so into jazz chords when I just found the reason we're all alive and the life of the Son of God is inside and we're just studying theory right now? Please. Of course, I failed every course at that point, which isn't to say anyone should do that, but I did, and because I was, you know, evangelizing in my own special way at that time. But what was happening is I just had a fire. This was well beyond chocolate cake, folks. This was Jesus, the love of my life, this only unselfish being in the universe. I'm my Lord. He's inside of my heart, filling me. So then I had a world religions class, and I had just got off an international tour with people where 100 of us traveled together from all around the world with all the different religions. and we really were proselytizing everywhere we went that we're all the same and all the religions are good. And so I immediately signed up for my world religion class when I first came to the university because I was not saved. And so nonetheless, anyway, and so midterm I received Jesus in the middle of this world religions class. And the professor had once been a Christian but had married a Buddhist and converted. So mid-semester, when I received the Lord, I decided I needed to have a talk with my world religions teacher and explain to him that it was okay to come back to Jesus. And I gave him a whole spiel about Paul and all this stuff. And with cursing, I was released from his office. And then there was the modern dance class, where we all had to do a dance at the end of the semester to show that we had learned how to do our modern dance. So, of course, I thought, this is wonderful. I'm going to do Keith Green's Easter song. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing that you can be born again, you know. So I had a whole dance out. The class has to watch, delighted, and get my little leotard on, crank up the Keith Green, and I'm like, hear the bells ringing, singing to the whole class. So what I'm trying to say is I was obnoxious. I drove many people away from the real Jesus. I didn't do it in the manner of which probably brought glory to God and had to do much repenting afterwards. Nonetheless, something wonderful and real hit me right in the gut, and I couldn't keep it to myself. I didn't know how to share it. I didn't know the nature of the life that was in me. But man, something happens when life meets the human heart. Something happens when the living God starts moving inside of a human being that didn't have life before. Something wonderful happens. And what happens is the spirit of that life makes us want to give it away. It makes us want to not hide it behind a bushel. It makes something in us want to dance in front of strangers that they can be born again and not even worry about how silly we look. Because all we can think about is they have to know the Jesus that I have, that found me and loved me in my dark, horrible, depressed, empty state. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And maybe we'll say everything wrong and maybe we'll do this, but life lives. Religion, doctrines, teaching, ministries don't always necessarily live. But the living Jesus, Christ, who is our life and breath and heartbeat, life lives. Life can't hold itself back. Could you ever imagine this huge water dammed up? You know what I mean? And it's just pressing. There's only so long that all that water can build up pressure against that dam before the dam breaks. And what comes out? A gush of living waters. Life, life lives and moves and flows and goes and goes and goes and goes. Living waters, it says in the book of Revelation, will come out of that New Jerusalem and bring healing to the nations. 12 different fruits. I mean, this water can reach past mountains, go under impossible divides. Water can flow over very high places and under very low places. Water can just move as one and give refreshment in life and nourishment to things that were dead and empty. Jesus is the living water. He said, I will be in your belly, in your spirit, as rivers of life-giving waters. Come unto me. Come unto me, he shouted at the great day of the feast in this Gospel of John. He said, I want to be in you as rivers of life-giving water. I want to be in you as rivers of life-giving waters. Hallelujah. Isn't our Jesus a beautiful Jesus? We received life. We have been born again of, yes, of incorruptible seed, but that seed that is incorruptible, that is in us, grows into a tree of life in us and gives fruit and shines shade and oxygen and gives life to others. That's Jesus. And there are seasons where the Lord will have us. That's what happened to me is there was no Bible school. There was about to be the Bible school, which we now know as Accelerated Christian Training School. But that hadn't started yet. So I was saved and I was like ready to, I had this backpack I got in Norway. It was all made of, I think, lambskin or something. And I had planned on using that backpack to put my belongings in, like Jesus said, just one bag, which I have disobeyed that since. I take too many suitcases. They're laughing. They know. But I had my little Norwegian backpack from being on the road with my New Age group. And I was ready to now take that backpack. And I was going to put a few belongings in it, like Jesus said. And I was going to tell the whole world, you need to receive this Jesus. He is going to change, not just rock your world, be your life, change everything. I was ready to just hop on the bus. And at a certain point, I came to, they had some classes at the church, and it was a little bit about evangelism, and boy, that just got my blood boiling more. I was, you know, looking on the calendar, ready to head somewhere, tell the world. And then, of course, the end of that semester came at the university, and I had a great 0.8 grade point average. I was spending many of my class times praising in my dorm room. Which drove my original roommate out of my room, which was not a great evangelical move. She requested a change of roommates and left me, which I found wonderful because then I was free to praise whenever I wanted. And of course, I was so very young, I didn't realize how Jesus would have laid his life down for her and been an example of the nature that prefers others, esteems others. I was violating things right and left, but didn't know. And truly was just born again, but young. So I realized I'm done. There's nothing for me here anymore. All I want to do is be around Jesus, share Jesus, know Jesus. I am a mess still, but I know what I who I love. It wasn't even what I want. It was who I love. Broke all my relationships. If you know, this has got to be about Jesus. That's what I'm about. And decided to, find a job and figure out how to do this. So that was right before Christmas break. I had been going to a wonderful, wonderful Vineyard church, loved every moment of it. I just couldn't believe the amazing life and worship and freedom. And, oh, it was amazing. It was just heaven. I was so touched by the living God there. It was my first experience of church in that way. And being born again, it all resonated deep inside. And so I went home for Christmas break, came back, and that church dissolved. It was gone. No more. No more church. No more Vineyard. Seemed great when I left. It was gone when I came home. So I said, well, my roommate was Mallory. Mallory, where am I going to, can I go to your church? Because my church doesn't exist anymore. She says, sure, I go to this New Creation Fellowship. It's just right down the road. Great. Started going there, loved it. I said, this is feeding me. This is feeding me. This is the Jesus I want to know. So I said, I need to get a job at Sac and Save, and there's some apartments across the street here from this church. I think it's time for me to just get a job, and whenever they open the door for something, I just want to know Jesus. That's what I'm doing at UNT, but I'm paying thousands and thousands of dollars to flunk out. You know, driving my roommate out to be in the Word, this is not good money management. So might as well just, get an apartment, work a job, and know Jesus. Several weeks later, I remember sitting in the back of the church in a pew beside Mallory, and then Pastor Randy and his wife, Debbie, were up front, and they said, we need to make an announcement. We've been, they had been doing Bible classes since a long time in like different locations like Berean and other churches. There'd always been that Bible school feel. But I don't think they'd ever opened up like an actual dorm and a place for someone to forsake all, come and know Jesus and live. And so they said, you know, we feel like the Lord has told us to open up this Bible school in that way. I looked over at Mallory and I said, well, guess I don't have to get that apartment. Came to Acts, realized that I needed to come to know Jesus before I could really go to show him, before I could really share who he was. I had to know who he was and have him formed in me so that what I was sharing with people, though zealous and true, didn't have another spirit in nature, you know, running over the top of people with the gospel instead of laying my life down and displaying his lamb nature. So I, instead of hopping on a bus and sharing Jesus around the world, I hopped into a dorm, got my Bible, and started taking Bible school classes and seeking to know him, but not to learn stuff. And not to become a great minister, not to become a missionary, not to do anything like that. I just realized I can't share his life until his life is in me to share, formed. I have to come to know him before I can go to show him. But I remembered the Lord said, you know, you could come into this environment to know him and forget about the go to show him part. You could get so swallowed up in the teaching and the learning and the ministries that all of a sudden it becomes, I want to know him for me. You know, I don't know how to put it. The levee doesn't break, the waters don't gush, and it doesn't eventually, as biblically patterned, as we will look at in the Word together throughout this course, go beyond Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. How wonderful does that sound? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost. Doesn't that sound like the life of Christ in a body of believers? It eventually, in God's time, when he knows the fruit of the life of Christ inside his people is ripe enough to come forth and really be sent to others. And so I had to do that. And at a certain point in my life, the Lord said, you know, go to Ireland on a birthday present vacation, and it turned into a go to show him. Who turned that into a go to show him? Well, God did. We didn't have an agenda or a ministry. I never prayed one prayer about being evangelical in ministry or missionary. I just said, someday when it's your time, Jesus, I'd like to share you with others, and it would be you, and not just my zeal and not just my excitement, but really go to show you. And so the Lord began, and he continues, and there's so much more of me needing more of Jesus. But not just for me to get more of Jesus, but for me to give more of Jesus and let him live to God and others. But the wonderful, beautiful thing, and we're going to look at it now in the scriptures, is that he wants to do that through a body. He doesn't just want to do it through one person. Because when Jesus of Nazareth died on the cross as one person, he was sown as a single seed. But when Jesus raised up from the dead, when the Father raised him up, the Bible, the book of Colossians, Psalm 2, oh, so much of the epistles declare that he raised up a new man with many members, that Jesus was raised with a body. It wasn't just the body of Jesus of Nazareth, just one guy in sandals walking the shore with 12 disciples. But that one man body died at the cross and went down into death and burial. And what rose up from the death of that one man was a body, with his body, with many members, full of that same son, the same life that was in Jesus of Nazareth, is in the body of Jesus now, all who have received his life and are born again. We are his body. And together we can let him shine and go forth through us much more powerfully than just one person. So there is this waiting and tarrying, not just individually, but together, to be sent out as his body to share the life that we've received. Does that not sound just so wonderful? Well, let's look at that in the first church, because what we've just described is really what happened when Jesus died on the cross and rose again. This is the book of Acts. So we're going to go ahead and turn to the book of Acts, starting in chapter 2. And we're going to start with verse 1. Now, as you're turning there, I want to mention that the day of Pentecost, well, who knows what Pentecost means or what the Feast of Pentecost represents in the cycle of the harvest? Does anybody know that?
First fruits.
First fruits. That's right. It's the Feast of First Fruits. Now, in regards to what we were just talking about, can you see a little pattern kind of forming? All right, so let's read. Let's read, starting in verse 1 of chapter 2 in Acts. And when the day of Pentecost, or first fruits, was fully come, notice the word fully, because the Holy Spirit landed on that word for me. They were all with one accord in one place. Okay. So the first thing that I felt the Holy Spirit land on for us today is that they were, that the day of Pentecost had to fully come. And I think that that can be comprehended as a farming term, that there's a day when the first fruits are fully ready to be offered or to be feasted, if you will. You have to wait for the fully before you come. Now, my problem when I was first got saved is there was not a fully come in my walk. I was ready to take the seed that had been planted 1 or 2 weeks previously, the seed of Jesus in my heart, pull him out of my heart before he'd even grown a tiny little sprig of root yet, much less any spring upward of fruit, and throw him at anybody who was willing to catch, because this seed is dynamite, man. I don't know what it's going to look like when he grows, but the seed is just awesome, right? The day of Pentecost had not yet fully come in my life. The seed had been sown, and what had just happened in this time period in the book of Acts was Jesus had just died. That Jesus of Nazareth, one man, had just fallen in the ground, that seed had just fallen in the ground and died. The great evangelical move of the cross, that first movement out from the Godhead, the Father offering his Son, Jesus going into death, happened. Can you see them beginning to move out from themselves? They've done a creation already. We're all created. But the problem is the life of God is not in us yet. So now they're moving even deeper and they're giving their life. The Father's giving his firstborn Son. Jesus is falling in the ground and dying under all those shameful conditions. Crucifixion. The seed's there, but the first fruits have not fully come. So what happens? This is what happens. And now I would like us to read this not as a teaching, not as a story of the past, but as part of what God could possibly be speaking to us through the word about our lives and the Jesus that lives in us together, and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart if there's something there. He just shared this with me this morning at 8:30. I had a whole different class planned, kind of, and he came and he shared this. So I would ask for you to hold these things before the Lord and see if he ministers to your heart. I am not coming saying as a teacher or someone that I know. I don't know. I'm coming as a person who wants to go to show him, who needs more maturity and wants to grow with the body for a corporate release. So I'm asking you in the spirit of oneness as his body to check it out. See if the Lord's trying to tell us something for what he wants to do through us. Amen? Instead of me being the teacher and I know something, how about I be a member of the body of Jesus who wants to go show him with you? And we're all trying to figure this thing out together. I like that better. Personally, I feel better about that before God as well. So let's take that approach and look at these verses. When the day of first fruits was fully come. Well, they were all with one accord in one place. Okay, stop there. I felt like the Lord really gathered my heart and eyes upon these words in the scriptures, that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in a certain place. In other words, is it possible that the day of first fruits cannot fully come until we are all together as one in one place of one accord. In other words, would God himself tarry waiting for us to be gathered together as one with one heart and in one place? I think that place is in Christ, before he can release us forth. Amen? Does that kind of... So I'm going to read that again and say that when the day of first fruits had fully come, this is what it looked like. They were all with one accord in one place. So there was this movement that precipitated and brought forth the fully come, the full coming of the feast or release of the true Pentecost. And that had to do with people coming together with one heart in one place. I see within that the beginnings of them beginning to function as the body. Do you see? They weren't coming together with, I'm a minister, or I was the 12, one of the 12. Now listen, the folks in that room, which it speaks of here in these verses, we have the 12 disciples. They could be really special, couldn't they? Better than the rest of the folks in that room. Well, we've got Mary, the mother of Jesus. It speaks of that here in this chapter, that she was there gathered up in that upper room. How much could she say, I'm better than every one of you. I'm the mother of Jesus. And then his brothers and sisters were also there. It speaks of that in the same chapter. Well, I'm the brother of Jesus. You may be his disciple, but I'm his blood brother. I'm his mother. I was one of the three on the Mount of Transfiguration. That is not one place, one accord. What is that? Division. But let's talk on a heart level. What's going on in the hearts of the people who are tarrying for Pentecost? They don't know it's Pentecost, but they're tarrying for what's next. Jealousy, pride, rejection, individualism. The day of Pentecost can't fully come when we're gathered together, not as one, but as separate. Now, how many people have ever felt the devil just hitting you when you get with the body? You're not a part, or you're not as important, or you're not as needed. You're not as special. Oh, you're just that person who can only come on Sundays because you've got so much going on in your schedule. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, you can't be, you certainly can't be one of the special.
Or the opposite.
Yeah, or the opposite, which would be?
I'm better than the rest of them.
Oh,
I know things better.
That's real.
I understand it. They don't fully.
So Myrcha said, I am better. I don't, no, she said that was the opposite view. Forgive me for misrepresenting this precious heart that does not feel this way, but loves the Lord deeply. And Jesus does shine out of her to me constantly. But she said someone could feel like I'm better, I know more, the opposite side of the spectrum. And you know, that spirit up in that little upper room where they're gathered, don't you feel people would feel that? Like the younger ones would feel, I'm not as special, what am I doing here? And then they see the mother of Jesus gloating about her motherhood in front of, you know, or the brothers taking special license to, and Peter and James and John. But that wasn't happening in the upper room. Interestingly, they were all of one accord in one place. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, I just felt the Spirit of God saying, I liked this. I mean, I felt like the Holy Spirit said, I liked that about them. They didn't have Jesus in them yet. The Spirit of God hadn't come. The life of Jesus hadn't come into them yet. They hadn't been filled with the Holy Spirit yet. They hadn't received the life of Christ yet. But what had they done? They came together in a right way. Now you can say, I can't be filled with the Holy Spirit. God has to be in me. That's the Holy Spirit filling me. That's God, right? I can't be full of another life. That's Jesus in me. He's my life. It's got to be Jesus. What can I do? And you know how he can do that. We can kind of just get like, well, I can't do anything. It's all on you, God. But they were not tarrying like that. There's stuff we can do. We can say, Jesus died for all of us. And the same Jesus who lives in Peter wants to live in the little Tabitha over there. And the same Jesus that lives in the mother of Jesus wants to live in the least one in this room. The same Jesus wants to fill all of us and make us together his body. Now, they didn't know that then, but there was a spirit of togetherness, not separateness, not jealous, competitive, striving to be greater, finding, you know what I'm saying? What it speaks of in 1 Corinthians when Paul begins to say, but ye are carnal. The carnal things that make us not be one. But isn't it funny that before we can share the love of Jesus with the world, we got to have love between us. I mean, they will know that you are his disciples by what? Your knowledge of the cross? By your deep doctrines that impress everybody? By the anointings you have when you lead worship? By the crazy cool books you can write? No. What did Jesus say? They will know you by, that you are his disciples by your love for one another. Now, you can say, well, I can love that leper. I can love the whole Dagum leper colony. But do not ask me to love Billy Bob right here that I've been having a room with for a while, because ain't gonna happen. Jesus said, we're not ready to go to show him yet, because you can't be my disciple who loves the one you're with, the one that you're walking with each day. And that's just a sign, not of condemnation, but if we're not ready to go show him yet. The day of Pentecost has not fully come. Is there condemnation in that? No, not at all. We all need that time, don't we? We all do. That's part of it. But we can be humbled by that, and we can bow before the Lord, and we can approach the way we are together in a different spirit, can't we? We can do that even without being filled with the Holy Spirit and Jesus formed in us. We can make a decision to not have to be special, amen? But to let Jesus be special where? Up in heaven at the right hand of the Father? In my brother. How about it's all about Jesus being special in somebody besides me? Ooh, that's different, isn't it? The special Jesus that I want to love with all my heart is going to be in another member of the body beside myself. In fact, I'm going to do what Paul told me to do, and I'm going to esteem them better. Now we got love. Now we got a life to share. You think if people walk up to, let's say we are doing a little evangelism outreach and we've got our track set out and we've got music and Bethany the Bible dog is there and on and on and on, and we've got all our fun things God's given us to do, and some guy or lady comes up, don't know Jesus, don't know us, but they're open and God had prepared them for this day, and they walk up and see us fighting, treating each other unkindly, pushing each other around, or just being all caught up in the details of, well, you didn't put the track rock properly on top of the track, right? Or, you know, that song isn't the song that's really going to bring the Lord here. I can play guitar better than you. Give me the guitar. Or even just that vibe, you know, like being Christian about it. Brother, if whenever you're done, I'm ready. Because it's really all about this great way I lead worship. So, you know, hey. You know what I'm saying? The Christian way. So it doesn't look bad, but it's the same stinky spirit. That's not evangelism. Evangelism is when we're in one place with one accord and we're starting to get ready to function as the body of Jesus and release his life together. Now you got the Holy Spirit on the scene. Let's look at it in the Word. You start gathering like that, now you're going to have the Godhead show up. Now I want to say the Holy Spirit shared this with me this morning, and he said, it's not just a magic season of now's the time to do evangelism. Boom, I'm going to show up. Or I've learned how to do this evangelism thing. I figured out all the different methods. Boom, God's going to show up. I felt like the Lord said, no, when there's a certain condition of heart and there's a certain spirit happening, then I'm going to show up and do the evangelism through you. How does that sound? But let's look at it in the Word, because what I think means zip, zero, nothing. But what the Word of God says, that's the authority we want to come under. So let's go to verse 2, chapter 2, verse 2. So they're all in one place, in one accord, together in that spirit. So this is what happens. Suddenly, there come a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Stop there, don't read ahead. So out of nowhere, this isn't the suddenly that Peter starts preaching. This isn't the suddenly that we start playing a great worship song and now God starts moving because our worship music started to usher him in. You know what I'm saying. It wasn't a big move of something through us. Listen, the big move of something through us was what? What was the big move through us that brought the sudden rushing mighty wind of God into the room? Yes. Meyer just said, because we came in one place with one heart. And he responded. He's like, the Holy Spirit's like, I know Jesus died to get a body. I mean, he's done the deal. He's been buried. He's been crucified and buried. You know what I'm saying? It's finished. It's finished. He's ready to have a body, to fill a body with many members. But these folks right here, the way they're gathered, this might be the group to start with. To start with. Notice that the Holy Spirit didn't go to just a Paul sitting out in the Arabic deserts and just one man get that mighty rushing wind. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times we're like, man, God's going to just use me. I don't need the body. I'm going to have the big experience without anybody else. And there are times where Christ is revealed in us and the Father reveals his Son in us like he did Paul. And yes, but Paul did move with the body when he went on his evangelical outreaches too. You see what I'm saying? He always moved with a body, which you're going to hear about in your last class. I think Ben even shared some on that, the body that he was with in Colossae. Because Paul knew this. So he goes, he's ready to fill a body. These guys look ripe. They look like the day of Pentecost might be fully come. Amen? See that? See that? So it can't be just about us. You may be like, why is God emphasizing the body more? Why is he not making it all about me? Well, read chapter 2, verse 1. Maybe God wants to move in a new way, and your stubborn individual resistance is hindering the fully come of Pentecost. I'm not saying anybody's doing that, but could that be possible, that we could be stubbornly resistant to the day of Pentecost fully coming because we wanted to be special and individual and not flow with the body? Is it possible? I know it's possible for me. I also know that I say, no, 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 I want to be a part of this, right? I don't want my stubborn individualism and pride to keep me from the fully come of the life of Jesus in his body. Does anyone else say amen to that? Well, should we just pray now? Let's just believe that. Lord, we just say, I don't want to be special. I don't want to be separate from your body. I don't want to have a better Jesus than someone else, which is impossible. But Lord, I want to come together with one heart and one mind and one accord in one place and just wait for you to fill us all as one and let your love for one another permeate that room instead of individualism and separation and pride. Lord, we know that we can't fully bring that in our hearts, but we can say yes to that. We can use our free will to say, I'm with you, Lord. And I know your spirit and your life in me will help me do that by your life. But I can say yes, I can gather in that heart even before the fullness of it is formed in me. So I say yes to your heart in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Okay, so let's just look here. Let's read chapter 2, verse 2 again. And then I want you to notice that it filled all the house. It doesn't say it filled them yet. The first place it filled was the house. It filled the place that they were gathering. Now, the Holy Spirit wanted to fill them. That's the goal. That's his aim. Amen? To prepare the way for Jesus to fill them as life. But he did fill the place. You know, the Spirit of God began moving in the place where those hearts were gathered as one in one accord. Now, let me tell you, that's only going to happen in the big conference with the adults. Guys, if you are a teacher of children and you go back in your little children's room and you gather those children with a spirit of one heart and one accord, and they have that, they respond and they from their hearts gather in that way, you know, the Holy Spirit can show up in that classroom like a mighty rushing wind and begin to bring forth, filling those children with the spirit, bring forth his spirit in them. It doesn't have to be in the big thing. This is a principle of the Lord. Man, we can walk in there as teachers and say, let's gather as the body of Jesus. Let's believe the Spirit wants to fill us. Let's let the Lord have his way. Amen. You know, you be it unto us according to our faith. We can have that heart for the Lord to fill his body and promote Christ in one another. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Isn't that a beautiful thing to believe in Jesus filling your neighbor instead of it being all about me getting more of Jesus? I mean, it's a wonderful pursuit to give your life for someone else to get the Lord. That's the beginning of evangelism. It must happen before we go beyond Jerusalem. There has to be love in Jerusalem, in the house of God. The Spirit needs to fill the house first and each member before we can release that further. And I think that's really the key point for today. And so kind of to sum it up, let's go and read for verse 3. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire. It sat upon each of them. And then verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. We're going to stop there because there's so much, much, much. I can see what the Spirit shared this morning could go for the whole class, which I love. But this is where we need to end. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So now the Spirit of God isn't just filling the room, which it was in verse 2, but it's filling every single person there. And as this continues to progress throughout chapter 2 and 3, this thing's going to spread like wildfire around the world. Like wildfire around the world. But it won't even begin. That little flame, it takes a little spark to start a fire, doesn't it? This little cloven tongue is the spark. And how did that cloven tongue, this is your homework for next week, how did that little cloven tongue that the Spirit gave, how did that spark ignite? What steps happened before that? Just things we've talked about in this class. What steps happened before the spark hit each member? And as they continued to come together around the crucified Jesus, which we're going to look at later, that spark turned into a flame that went around the world, guys. And these things are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come. This is for us. I believe God wants to move through us. I believe he wants to do it according to he wants to build it according to the pattern that he set forth in his word. And I believe our hearts are in a place like this now, or at least we're going to take steps together as one, as his. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the believers that we are one with, though they lived thousands of years ago. And they have experienced the very same principle of life that we are in the midst of experiencing now in this generation, upon whom your day of Pentecost wants to fully come, and through whom you want to release rivers of living water with fire, the fire of the cross, the living water of the Lamb, the fullness of the gospel through a living body that loves one another first and can shine forth the glory of God, who has always loved in this manner, that people might know the real God and not Christianity or religion or duties or laws, but they would know you, that we would come to know you and in your time go to show you together. Lord, light this up in our hearts, set a fire, gather us in, do something eternal and real for the season you have ordained. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.